everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billie Day, and we're back! And if you can't tell already by the title, we're going to be talking about Hatshepsut, who was a female pharaoh who ruled in Egypt. And, okay, the reason why I thought about her was because Chick-fil-A is doing the chicken tortilla soup, which is really the one of the best things they have on the menu. So, if you go to Chick-fil-A, now on a Sunday, if you go to Chick-fil-A and you get the chicken tortilla soup, it's going to change your life. And then on top of that, they give you like little tortilla strips. Put that in there. But then if you have your own tortilla strips, put them in there. Get mad Mexican cheese. Throw that in there. Eat half of it. Put it in the fridge because it tastes even better the next day. And then eat that and then tell me what you think. Now, when you go to Chick-fil-A, tell them Lady Billie Day sent you. Maybe they'll give you a free milkshake. Because, you know, I'm sponsored by Chick-fil-A. I'm kidding. I'm not sponsored by Chick-fil-A. I wish I was. Well, actually, I don't know, because I heard Chick-fil-A is kind of problematic. Like, Home Depot. Oh, my God. And for my international listeners, if you don't have a Chick-fil-A, petition for one. Or come to America just for the chicken sandwich. Anyway. Oh, I didn't even get to why I was talking about that. Oh, sorry. So I saw the chicken tortilla soup sign. And then I remember when I was in high school and we were talking about like ancient pharaohs and this and a third. They would talk about Hatshepsut. But like nobody could say her name. So the book was like, say hot chicken soup. But just say it fast. So hot chicken soup. Like that. Which still doesn't sound like Hatshepsut, but you get where the book was trying to go. And that is what Chick-fil-A reminded me of. So we are doing Hatshepsut today. Bless me. Anyway, let's get into it. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billie Day. Hatshepsut was born around 1479 BCE, and she was born to Pharaoh Thutmose I and Ames, I think that was his primary wife. And keep in mind, there are many interpretations of how to say these people's names, because I've always heard Thutmose as Thutmose, and that's how I've always said it. But then there's also people who say Thutmose, Thutmose, Thutmose the first and his wife Ames. And she ended up marrying her half-brother Thutmose the second. And I think we've mentioned this before in previous episodes, but in ancient Egypt and in a lot of ancient civilizations, there was a lot of brother-sister, brother-stepsister, sister-stepbrother marriage. And this was all in an effort to keep the bloodlines pure. But as you know, when you marry someone who is too closely in relation to you, the likelihood of your child having birth defects is very high. For example, King Tut, he was a product of this close bloodline marriage. He was a product of that. And because of that, even though he's depicted as being like this really cool king and he's like, you know, strong looking, in real life he wasn't. He was like I think he has scoliosis. Something was wrong with like the shape of his head, and he had like these weird hips or something. He did not look anything like how his sarcophagus looks. It was because he was a product of incest, or, you know, very close relations, having relations. I don't know why Dave Chappelle hasn't hired me and put me on his comedy sketch, because honestly, I should be a full-time comedian, because I'm crack myself up. If you can't make yourself laugh, how you gonna make somebody else laugh? All right. You heard it from me first, buddy. But anyway, Thutmose II and Hatshepsut have one daughter, Neferare. Thutmose II dies pretty early on, and Hatshepsut becomes the regent to her stepson. And this son is a product of her husband and his secondary wife. This is seen in many ancient Asian civilizations where it doesn't matter if the child comes from your first wife or your primary consort. If you are the person who's supposed to be king, it doesn't matter if you came from like a secondary wife, a third wife, a high-ranking concubine. You were chosen. So it's not rare in ancient Egypt for if, because for example, usually in European monarchies, if the primary wife did not have a legitimate son, then the crown would go to like a brother, or it would go to someone else, and it wouldn't go to the king's bastard son, even though it has happened in some circumstances. But it wasn't a usual everyday thing. But in places like Egypt, that happened. So it didn't matter if the son was, not from a primary wife, he could still be a king, and that is what happened in this scenario. However, when his father dies and the crown is passed to him, he's still a little boy. So Hatshepsut acts as co-regent, which is also not rare for women in Egypt. They would just kind of be on the throne working with this son or upcoming pharaoh, assisting him until he became of age. However, what is a rarity is that she wakes up one day and she was like, yeah, I'm not trying to be a co-regent anymore. I'm trying to be a co-ruler. So now we have two pharaoh-like characters here. It's not just like, oh, there's a pharaoh and that's his helper. No, we're both kind of pharaohs here. Like I said, this is a rarity, but and there might be many reasons for why she did this. Nobody knows for sure, but maybe one of the reasons was that she simply wanted to help her stepson. Help him along, show him the ropes, the vibes. Or she just got a taste of what it was like to be in power because if she's a co-ruling, co because if she's a co-regent and she's acting on behalf of a little boy who literally doesn't know what he's doing, she's literally acting as pharaoh, basically. So she's got a little taste of this power and she doesn't want to let it go. That might also be a reason, nobody knows. And she's also more outspoken and has more of a dominant personality than her stepson. Now, that's not to say that people who are quiet aren't dominant or that people who are quiet are less powerful. It's just that she was everything a pharaoh needed, quote unquote, to be. And that made it easier for her to kind of push him out the way. However, even though it's not rare for a woman to rule alongside a younger king, people are not used to women being rulers on their own. For example, like Elizabeth I and Mary Queen of Scots. It happens, but it's rare, and usually people don't like it. And by people, I usually mean men don't like it, or maybe sometimes women. I don't know. It'd be your own that hate you. Oh, hold on, pause. My boss is texting me. He's texting me. What do you want? I hope I'm not in trouble. Look, that's a funny story. So at my job, you can get paid on the clock for going out and hanging out with your coworkers. You get paid a couple of hours a year and you go and you can do everything you wouldn't do except for like do any illegal activities and have alcohol. Because technically you're still on the clock. So because of COVID, we weren't really able to use those hours, but we finally were allowed to use those hours in December, and they don't carry over. So you have to use all the X number of hours before the year is up. And we were authorized to use them last week, and the year is up in a couple of days. So we're all in the office scrambling how to use all these hours, and we come up with a paint sip, a virtual paint sip. All of us are going to be on Zoom and we're going to be painting and it's just going to be great. So I'm excited. It's also nice to get paid to hang out with your coworkers, which at first I thought was kind of weird. I thought it was just a way to just waste money. But actually, in my experience, when I've used these hours in other jobs I've had at my organization, it's a great way to hang out with your coworkers and get to know them for real because you only see them in an office setting. But when you go out to Dave and Buster's and you're trying to spend your money on skee-ball, you see a different side of them. That's a fact. So, that's what my boss was texting me about. He was texting me about what the heck we're doing for the sip and paint and who do I give money to. Anyway, back to it. We were talking about women being on the throne, blah, blah, blah. Okay. She also feels like she might have a sort of claim to the throne because her father was also the pharaoh before her stepson and her husband. So who, what better person to do this job than someone who's seen it in real time? Now that we're finished talking about now that we're finished talking about why Hatshepsut feels like she is in a good place to rule, I will break here and insert the sponsor. So, goodbye. And we're back. And one of the reasons why, and one of the things that she did in order to get people on the Hatshepsut train was to depict herself as a man. So she, in the statues and the pictures that she had drawn of herself, she has a beard, she has muscles, she just looks like a dude, you know what I mean? And it wasn't because she saw herself as a man or she even wanted to be a man, but if people are walking around and they open their newspapers and they see that their king's dressed, I mean, their queen is dressed up like a guy and is taking on a male persona, you're more likely to kind of get on this Hatshepsut train. At least I was if I wasn't a fan of female queens. So having an aura of a man, she'll be taken a little bit more seriously. And sometimes she will refer to herself or her name in the masculine sense. So, for example, if you have a nickname Alex and you're Alexandra, if you're trying to give yourself a male persona, you would name yourself Alexander. That's basically what she was doing, which is genius, honestly. Because I wouldn't have thought that. Like, you know, just pretend to be a dude. It's a pretty good idea. And she served very well. She did a great job as queen. And she wasn't really interested in warfare or anything like that, but she was a fan of peace. She was a fan of foreign policy. She restored infrastructure and she created more temples and restored the temples that were already there. She was also smart in that she specifically picked her advisors. People who would be very loyal and those that were competent. And they were usually men, which is fine, but people that she knew weren't going to turn their backs on her just because she was a woman or in a power play. Now, what she's most famous for is, and I'm going to butcher this, so just bear with me, is that she oversaw the creation of Djeser-Djeseru. And it's also called like Deir al-Bari. They're interchangeable. Anyway. So it's a gorgeous building. It's a three-story building with it's like ramps to get to each level. It's columns, and there's a sanctuary dedicated to the god Amun. And I highly recommend you look at it because it's first of all it's gorgeous, and it's a literal masterpiece. Like this was created thousands of years ago, and it's gorgeous. Like the walls, I mean, even though they've been worn down over time, obviously, but it's could you imagine what it looked like in its heyday? And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, I love Egyptology, because sometimes you just look at like these temples and these buildings, and they just look like pieces of dried up sand and rust and gunk. But you have to see in your mind what it looked like thousands of years ago. Like, if we can still see the pigments in the painting on the wall thousands of years, just imagine what it looked like back then. Like, that's crazy. You just have to see it in your head, and then you're one step closer to being an Egyptologist. Yeah. Okay, that was like my little nerd moment. I'm sorry. Anyway, like I said, she increased the wealth of an entire country through trade. She was traded with people throughout northern Africa, so like throughout Nubia and things like that. However, she dies really early. She dies in her 40s, and she's buried in the Valley of the Kings, which is super, super important. That's where, like, the who's who of pharaohs are buried. And she also wanted her father's sarcophagus to be dug up and dug next to her, which is also a very smart move. That way, years from now, when somebody's coming and they're looking for Thutmose, they're like, oh, who's this right here? Oh, that's Hatshepsut. That's his daughter. She was also a pharaoh. She's buried next to Thutmose. What? She must have been fancy. And see, that's a brilliant idea. But anyway, she likely died due to the use of toxic ingredients. In her tomb were found like carcinogens and things like that. And that was probably what she was using in her daily life, and that's probably what killed her. But who knows, because everybody was dying back then from something. However, here's the very interesting part. Probably her stepson, but someone who came after her was either very happy for her death or tried to get rid of all memory of her. And how do you do that in ancient Egypt? You destroy everything that had any record of her, anything at all. That means her statues, any pieces of paper that had her name on it. If there were her name on walls, you would destroy it, anything. And this is not uncommon in Egypt when the next ruler or somebody comes into power and they want to get rid of the memory of someone. They just destroy everything that they put together. And it's basically an Egyptian way of one, insulting somebody. Maybe it was a way for future generations to not know how they made contributions. Maybe it was a way for there not to be a record that there was a female pharaoh at any time. But the reason why I say someone and not her stepson exactly was because this destruction of all things Hatshepsut happened 20 years after she died. And again, her stepson still maybe ordered it, but is he really gonna be mad that she took like this whole co-ruler thing too seriously after 20 years? That's a mad grudge to hold. But who knows? Either way, her stuff was destroyed, and she wasn't discovered until 1822. Oh, AD. Sorry. Sorry, because whenever you're talking about, oh, people died in like 1458 and they were born in 1497, it's like, are we still talking? Like, okay, anyway, this is 1822 AD or CE. Now, I say this very often, and you could put it on my tombstone. I am very iffy about excavating people of color. And I've said that I totally understand that you want to understand the mummification process, how these people buried their dead. Like, you want to learn. Like, that's fine, because I love to learn about history. However, until we start digging up George Washington, Queen Elizabeth, and Alexander Hamilton, I'm really not on the boat yet. I'm not sold on this whole let's keep digging up people of color. I'm really not interested in it. This means people in Egypt, sub-Saharan Africa, Mesoamerica. I'm not interested in it. Like, we understand the process now. We understand, and excavation is cool. But then once you start removing people's bodies and putting them in museums, I'm not really on the train. I've gotten off the train at this point. Because, like I said, you are not going through Europe and you're not going through North America digging up prestigious white people. You're not. So, but once you do that and it's all fair, then maybe. But putting people of color on for show is not really my thing. Oh, but Lady Billy Day, Egyptians were like, white. No, they were not. No, they were not. Honestly, The Prince of Egypt is the movie. It's honestly one of the closest depictions you're gonna get to what ancient Egyptian people look like. I don't want to hear it. But honestly, that whole idea that Egyptians were white, I honestly think that comes from like people seeing Cleopatra. Okay, Cleopatra was from a Greek family, thus making her of she was white, but she was Greek. She was not Egyptian. I will die on this pedestal that one, Egyptians were not white, and two, they probably look like me or my counterparts. I hate that. It bothers me so much. Like, we just, oh yeah, Africa. Oh, and then there's Egypt. No, Egypt is a part of Africa. The Egyptians were black. Thank you. And thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Anyway, back to it. Even though the discovery of her was in 1822, her actual sarcophagus was not found until 1903. They go to open it and it's empty. It's empty, bro. Then her body is not found for another 104 years in 2007. That was a couple years ago. Why am I thinking like 2007 was a decade ago? 2007 was almost 15 years ago. Wow. Her statue that was found is also now at the Met Museum in New York City. And even though it's busted up, it's really cool. I've seen it in person and it's awesome. Oh, but what happens to her daughter, Neferare? We talked about her just like briefly in the beginning. So like scroll back. Nobody really knows except for that her tutor was Hatshepsut's close advisor, and that she probably died early. So who knows what really happened to her. Maybe all the information about her was smashed up along with Hatshepsut's legacy? Who knows? Hatshepsut also paved the way for very strong female figures like Cleopatra who can rule in their own right without a man. And that is really it. One of the good things that's happened now that I've been a little bit more regular is I figured out how to turn off the dings from the Mac. Because you guys remember like the past 3 episodes, you hear like little ding, ding, dings. And it's from me getting text messages. But I've been getting text messages like the entire time I've been recording. And it hasn't even made a sound. So I think I figured it out. And again, I apologize for all that annoying stuff. But we're in episode 8, can you believe it? We're almost done season 3. And on a good note, I also have my promo photo for season 4. It's already done. I can't wait to show it to you guys, but I'm not going to show it to you until I'm done with season 3. So I need to hurry up because it's really like the cutest. It's really like the best promo photo I have. Out of the 3 that I have, this one is the best one. And it is very related, and it's very relatable to this episode. So I can't wait to share with you guys and for you to see it, but I just have to finish season 3, and I'm almost done, and I'm about to record episode 9. It's crazy. Let's see if you can guess who it is about. Okay, so this person was born in North America. She was a slave. She, I don't want to like give it all away, but she sued for her freedom, and let's see if you can get it. Oh, and I never say this, but you guys, most recently in the past week, I have had at least, I think like 3 people in the past week reach out to me and say some of the sweetest things about my podcast and even by my Instagram at all. And I'm not gonna get emotional because, you know, I'm a gangster or whatever, you know, Grand Theft Auto, that life. But when I started my podcast in June of last year, it was literally a hot mess. It was an actual mess. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even have any editing tools. I didn't have a microphone. I was recording episodes on my phone's microphone. And it was bad. But even though it was bad, I loved it. I loved every moment of it. And it made me feel special that I was able to talk about something that really meant the world to me and still does, especially because, like I said, I'm not in my dream field, because my dream field would be dropping me in the middle of some jungle and finding some historical thing about, like, I would be like Lara Croft, like, drop me someplace and I'll figure it out. That's what I really would want to be in life, but that's probably never going to happen. So this is the next best thing: sharing history at like a really, really high level so anybody can understand, and hopefully it's not boring. But you know, I could talk about this stuff all day, And those messages, like, just people saying how they like my podcast, and like, I don't know, like, it just touched me. And I think I had someone do a Spotify Wrapped or whatever, and they had, so like, I was their top three podcasts that they had listened to, and they wrote like something really sweet, and like, I almost bust out in tears. It really touches me, like, when people will reach out to me on Instagram, or they'll leave a rate, or they'll leave a review, because I read every single one of them, and every time I'm just amazed that somebody sat for the half hour and listened to me while they were, cleaning out their fridge, on their way to work, picking up dog poop. At least that's what I do when I listen to podcasts. And how long have I been talking about this? Maybe like 5 minutes. But anyway, that kind of stuff means the world to me. And every single one of you that listens, even if you've listened for 5 minutes, you probably wouldn't have gotten to this part of the podcast if you only listened for 5 minutes. But every single person that listens means, really, truly means the world to me. I really appreciate it. And I think this weekend, it hit home for me when I saw that, people appreciate what I have to say. And I kind of felt like, for a long time, at least when I was younger, and sometimes now, I feel like people like saw me but didn't hear what I had to say, or like, what I had to say wasn't important, or me as a person wasn't important enough to be taken seriously. And I feel like now that I'm older, I kind of have a I'm in the room, look at me kind of personality. But when I was younger, I didn't have that, and that hurt so much. And looking back on younger me, let me turn on my foot massager because I'm about to go into this little soliloquy. Ow. This little soliloquy, so I might as well get my feet massaged. And when I was younger, looking back on my younger self, I am a totally different person, like, completely different. My work life, my personal life, completely different. And I can't help but think that this last year and a half of putting out what I love to all of you has made a huge impact on my life, for the better. Really, it has. I feel like this has really changed my perception of myself and my perception on the good in others. So that's it. I feel like, why did I feel like I talked more about my feelings? I'm sitting here crying. Why not talk about Hatshepsut? Whatever. But no matter where you are, thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. Why am I talking like this is the season finale? It's not. But this weekend meant the world to me. And if you are one of the people that are making me blush and making me tear up and cry, then this is dedicated to you for sure, because I don't know. Yeah. This was everything. Okay, let me end this episode, and let me end it by saying, if you aren't already, make sure you follow me on Instagram at Lady Billy Day. That's Lady Billie Day. And wherever you're listening, make sure you leave a rate or review. It takes a few seconds, and it means everything to me. I mean, you could see how much it means to me because I'm crying about it. God. Okay, let me end this episode. The next time I'll be on here, there are no major holidays coming up by the time I put out a new episode, but you never know with me, I'm never on time. So anyway, stay safe, stay warm, treat each other with kindness, and if you pray, pray for, you know what? Okay, here I go going again. Somebody told me that, first of all, you don't have to be a religious person to pray. If you pray at all, you don't have to. That when you are hurt, or someone has hurt you, And you're thinking about, either what am I going to do to get him back? I'm going to sit here in my anger and my stupor. What you should do is stop all that and pray for them. I know. I know. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? But somebody said this to me and I was like, huh? Because somebody had pissed me off to the highest high. And I just prayed for them. And I said, I wish this person has a wonderful, wonderful day. And again, that doesn't forgive them or negate anything that they did. But how do you believe in the Creator and approach the Creator with hate in your heart? You can't do it. So you have to get rid of that before you can pray. But if you pray, pray for somebody. Pray for yourself and pray that someone has a good day. Because how about this? I'll pray for you guys. Really? Not like, girl, I pray for you. Because, some people say that. I be saying that. And I don't pray for them. Ah! Anyway, thanks you guys. Leave a comment, leave a rate, leave a star. Come hang out with me on Instagram because sometimes we have fun. And love you guys from wherever you are. This is Saturday Night Live. Good night.